Shalom, everybody. Welcome to today's shiur on Shemitah, specifically on the Isser of Svichin. So before we get started on what Svichin actually means, I'd like to mention that today's learning has been dedicated by Zev Schwartz, head of Torah Mitzion, in honor of the yahrzeit of his mother, Gila Bat Miriam B'Yisrael, Zichrona Livracha. So in previous weeks, we have learned about why you can't plant during Shemitah, where you can't plant, how you can or can't harvest, whether or not the fruit that come out during Shemitah have sanctity or have kedushat Shemitah. But what happens if a vegetable were to grow on its own? What would its status be? So to that effect, we're going to be looking into a little bit about what svichim are, what do we mean by something that grew on its own, what does that mean in terms of the psukim, as well as what does it mean in terms of the halakha of how do we relate to these spontaneously growing vegetables. So the first source we have is actually one of our more frequently quoted verses. So everybody look at source number one. We are quoting the pasuk from Parshat Bahar, in Vayikra Chav Hei Hei, of Etzviach Ketrecha Lo Tikzor, Ve'inveni Zerecha Lo Tikzor, Shana Shabbaton Yelo Aretz. So the Sviach of your field you shall not harvest, the grape of your vineyard you shall not reap, because it is a sabbatical year. And similarly, Vayovel has a similar language as well, ending off with Lo Tikzor Etzvichav, Lo Tikzor Nezirah, you shall not harvest the Svichim, nor shall you reap that which grows in your vineyard. So the question is, obviously, so what precisely does the word sviach mean? So for the definition, I will turn to Rashi. So Rashi's definition is, afilu lo zarat, afil vihi samcha min hazera, shanafal b'shat hakatzir, v'hu karui sviach, lo tiksor, liyot mazik bo kishar katzir, ela hefker yeh lakol. So Rashi simply states that This is simply a growth that grew on its own. It fell last year when you were busy harvesting. Some fell down. So that's what you're not supposed to be harvesting. And by when we say don't harvest, we don't mean that it's prohibited. We simply mean that you shouldn't be harvesting it as if it's yours. Rather, harvest it in the manner of which you would harvest anything that belongs to nobody that is hefker. So the Ramban translates in a similar notion as well. And he actually gives a little more understanding from what the word sviach means. In source number three. So in the beginning, he says again, something that came up on its own. And he continues that Shehu Nispach El HaKatzir Hashana Shavra, that it is connected to and attached to the previous year, such as in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu of Nispachu al Beit Yaakov, that have cleaved to the house of Yaakov. So what he's pointing out is that that Svichim are produce that technically should be, according to the verse, or produce that's connected to the previous year, not actually Shemitah produce. So, and the only problematic thing is, well, they're not really Shemitah produce, but since it's during Shemitah, you shouldn't be harvesting them like you would in a typical year. The question then is, so based on what we've read so far, can you or can't you use Svichim during Shemitah? What would you say?
Rabbi Shiner?
No, I just said, why not?
I would think it's fine. I mean, it maybe just don't harvest it like regular, like we have with regular Shemitah produce, but why not?
Right. You should say it should be perfectly permissible. What could possibly be wrong? So for why it should be wrong, we have to look at the Sifra on Parshat Bahar. So in source number five, we see that etzviach ketzircha lo tiksor mikan samchu chachamim al svichim sheyu asirim mishvii. So based on the pasuk we quoted earlier, samchu chachamim, that svichim are prohibited. So my question is, what do you think the term samchu means? Assuming you haven't read the rest of this year already, what do you think samchu means?
Like asnachta.
You think it means asmachta, right? So the only problem with that is the fact that there's another sifra that indicates that it can't be an asmachta. So that's source number six, where it quotes a different pasuk for the basis of the limud, but again, it gets to the point of Rabbi Kiva says, Mikan samchu chachamim ala svichim shiu asarim b'shvi'i. So again, same as before, so it seems like, you know, an asmachta, but we have chachamim saying, Ein svichim asarim midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. The chachamim say, no, it's not asar deraita, it's only asar midivrei sofrim, meaning midrabanan. So that implies that Rabbi Kiva's opinion must be that it's asar midoraita. So the question then is, well, why would you use the term v'samchu? Right? It seems to be like, why would you use a word that makes it sound exactly like it said asmafta if you're really trying to do an actual limud? So the Rosh Cirillo, in his commentary on Shvi'i, gives a good reason. He says that Marashma mitocha breita, the takana kaduma b'Yisrael haita lisura kodem Rabbi Kiva Rabbanan. So prior to the time of Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim's argument, everybody knew that it was forbidden to harvest Svichim during Shemitah. So and why does that to say the term Mikan Samchu? Mash b'shabar Rabbi Akiva latek ta'am l'minhag shematza. Everybody's already saying that it's prohibited. He's simply explaining why. People simply forgot the reason. Rabbi Akiva's reminding them it's forbidden because it's asur midoraita. Rabbanan Savri, Midir Rabbanan Hayaminhag, Mishum Over Avera. But the Chachamim say, no, it's not that it's Asa Deraisa, it was just a Gzera, Rabbanan, and that's all it is. So now we have understanding for why there's a strange language, but we still haven't quite figured out what exactly the reason of why is it forbidden is. So if it's simply Asa Midiraisa, so it's a Limud, doesn't need a reason, and we can be done with it. So that works very well according to Rabbi Akiva. But according to the Chachamim, what precisely is their reason? So the most precise reason is formulated by the Rambam in source number 9. So midivrei sofrim sheyu kol hasvichin asarim b'achila. So there's a rabbinic prohibition, midivrei sofrim, that you cannot eat svichim. V'lama gazru aleihem mipnei ovrei avera. Why is it prohibited? Because of the people who would sin. And how would this help? Shelo yelech v'yizrat tfuah v'kitniyot v'zaronim b'gina b'toch sadeh v'seter v'yitzmach yochal mehen v'yamar svichin hein. People used to go and plant various seeds and grains in their gardens or in their fields, and they would say, it grew on its own. Because presumably, things that grow on their own are permitted. But therefore, they're lifichach, Asru kol svichim hatzumchim bashvi'i. But that's why the Chachamim had to come and prohibit it, because everybody was busy violating Shemitah, pretending that they didn't do anything wrong. So this is a very, you know, makes perfect sense, completely understandable, gzera midrabanan. The only problem is that this precise formulation of the Rambam is not found in this exact form in the Mishnah or in the Gemara. So the question is, where precisely did the Rambam get this really nice Zera Derabanan from? Yeah, nobody's arguing that it's not Zera Derabanan. The question is, why is this the Rambam's formulation for, and what is this really the basis for the prohibition? So the first person to support where Rambam got it from is what we're going to look at is the Rikurkis. So Rikurkis, if you look at the part in blue, says that Shehetiru Otan Minin She'ein Derech Lazaran Begana. So he says that we see from elsewhere in the Yerushalmi that other types of grains that people don't typically place in their gardens are permitted. Right. So this is why certain wild spices are prohibited because of Svichim. So therefore, since those are not prohibited, since people don't plant them, therefore the issue must have come up relating to something about people planting things improperly. And so Rambam used that to connect the dots between what over avera meant to what they did wrong, and that's how he got to his conclusion. So that's one option. But Rabbi Yosef Cairo doesn't quite like that explanation, and he offers something else instead. He wants something a little more weighty than it being implied by the Yerushalmi. So he says that the basis is in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer Svichei Chardal Mutarin Shelo Nechadu Alehan Ovrei Avera. So he's quoting a case that we will get to in a little bit in source 14 of the fact that mustard seed is exempt from Tzvichin according to Rabbi Yehuda. And why? Because there never was any case where people were in violation of Shemitah in regards to the mustard. So because of that, right? So that's so then even though we don't pass in like Rabbi Yehuda, still his reasoning is right. He says that he was simply talking about mustard, even though we don't pass in like him for mustard, but again, he's simply quoting an element of the Gzeira Derabanan. On the other hand, we have, so that would, again, also, very valid reason, entirely possible. On the other hand, we have the Pei HaShulchan, who doesn't quite like the fact that we're quoting from implied instances that don't explicitly state something being expressly related to the word Tzvichin. So that's why he didn't like the opinion of the Rikurkis. He didn't like Revis of Cairo because we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. So he offers another explanation based on, again, now we're in source number 12. This is based on Yerushalmi in Bava Batra. So again, so the formulation that he's quoting is the formulation as written in the Rambam, not as written in the Yerushalmi, simply because, well, we're looking for the Rambam's reasoning. So he says, how do we know that it's prohibited? Based on the other regions that are permitted from the side of Tzvichim. So Tzvichim Ha'olim, Besad Dabur, Besad Anir, Besad Kerem, Besad Zerem, Matarim Bechila. So these four fields are permitted. As far as what they are, we'll explain that in just a second. So Ubnei Ma Lo Gazer Alihen, Lefi She'en Adam Zareh Mot Elu. So why are these not included? Because these locations, people don't want to plant there. So what are each of these fields? So Sadebor is an unplanted field, right? A fallow field. And Adam Nifnelisha. People don't want to go there because the point of it is for it to remain that way. Next, we have a Sadanir, which is a plowed field. Rotzeh Hubatikuna. You wouldn't want to want anything to be growing in that field either, because you want it to be ready and plowed. That way you can use it again immediately in the eighth year. Masada Kerem, Eno Oster Karmo. And you wouldn't want any vegetables or grains popping up in your vineyard, because then you would run into issues of kelayim. Besadazera hasvichin masvirinotan. And if it happened to be a field that you were planting for seeds of fenugreek, that would be a problem as well, because anything else besides fenugreek growing in the field would ruin the subsequent year's fenugreek as well. So based on that, since those are all based on places where people wouldn't want to plant, that means it must have been based on where people were planting. So right now we have three very good reasons as to why it is us midrabanan as well, and based on the fact that certain locations you would not have wanted people to be planting. But the question is, what exactly was the original stage of the takana? And to that we have, so most people would assume, oh, simply it was just, you know, people were in violation of doing the trickery as designated by the Rambam, and then the prohibition came. But the Chazon Ish has a different theory. So he says that in source number 13, that Bichlal Gzeirat Tzvichin Shehaperot Nizra'u B'Isur Yehu Asurim. So he says that there's actually two stages. The first stage was that people were planting plants during the Tzvichin during Shemitah itself. So they had to tell people to stop doing that. Then Vosifu L'Asur Af Ba'alu Melehen. Then afterwards, when they saw people were still in violation and pretending that, oh, we didn't do anything wrong, that's when they switched back, when they had to say, no, even if it grew on its own, it's still prohibited, because that's when the people started pulling the trick. Because initially, you know, there'd be no reason to, because, you know, it was completely permitted. But only once there was, people started doing the first round of violations, did they think to prohibit that, and then in turn, the second round of violations. So based on what we've said so far, what kind of plants would you expect to be included under the prohibition of Tzvichin?
All things that grow by themselves during this Shemitah year, not included in the fields you mentioned.
Right. All it comes down to, can you plant them or not during Shemitah? That should be the only relevant point. But as we'll see in just a second, that's not necessarily the only factor involved. So if you look in source number 14, this is the first Mishnah, the ninth parak of Shvi'it, starting from Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol asfuch hasvichin mutarin chutz misviche kruv, she'ein kayotz behem yarkod en sadeh. So Rabbi Shimon said that actually all svichim are permitted except for the svichim of kruv, because they're different from all other vegetables. The Chachamim omrim kol shvichin asurim. And the Chachamim say, nope, all shvichin are prohibited, and that's that. So then when you look at the Yerushalmi, we're trying to figure out, well, why did Rabbi Shimon single out Kruv as being different from everything else? Like, why would one be prohibited versus one being allowed? What is unique about Kruv that would make it different from the general rules we've been looking at so far? So Bipnei She'en Kviyotz Behen Yerakot Tzedeh Yuasurin. Wait, so why is Rabbi Shimon asering Kruv for being something different? So the problem is that they tend to grow by way of imahot, which the Pnei Moshe explains is the way that they grow is by maintaining the same item in the ground, similar to what you again modern day an onion, and that's what makes it particularly problematic. So Pnei Shadarka Gadel Imahot U.S. Harim. Wait, but is that really a reason to specifically answer only the Kruv? Because, well, I mentioned onions. So, or wouldn't onions also be included in that? But we only called out the Kruv. So Amar Bishmuel Bar Yitzchak Kol Hayerek Ata Yachol Amon Alav Im Chanashu Im Yashanhu Ramhacha Shelo Yelech V'Yavi Minisur V'Yamar Hayimal Tiveti. Now, the unique about the Kruv, because for Kruv, you can't actually tell what it is. Okay, for this type of cabbage, you can't tell, right? You look at it, you can't tell. Is it new, old? You can't tell. So now we have another rule similarly to add, that if you can't tell the age of the given produce, that's also reason prohibited, because you won't be able to tell if it's from an allowed produce or forbidden produce. So far, so good?
And it's more than that. It's saying that only Kruv. That's the rule. Right. Kruv is a problem. That's right. A big rule.
Only Kruv. Kruv is uniquely strange, but everything else should be fine.
Right.
So let's see what else we can see. So this nice general rule that we just made that we added to our previous list. The question is it really a helpful rule or not? So the parallel sugya we have is found in the Gemara Pesachim, Dafnan Aleph Amud Bet. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Esvichin Asirin, Chutz Misvichei Kruv, Shein Kriyot Behen, Be'erek HaTzadeh. V'chacham Amrim, Kol Esvichin Asirin. So Rabbi Shimon says, all Svichim are prohibited, except for the Kruv, because it is different from all of other vegetables. And the Chachamim say, nope, all Svichim are prohibited. So what is the problem with the Gemara that I just read?
It's the opposite of what you just read in the source beforehand.
Right. Rabbi Shimon's opinion has flipped. Right? It went from being everything is allowed to everything is forbidden. So the question we're gonna work on is, well, what on earth does that mean? Right? How do we switch from one to the other? Which one is it? So, but before we get to that, let's continue with the Gemara, just because that'll be relevant for understanding how to divide the two in half. So Vitervayu Libud Rabbi Akiva. So both of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon are talking within Rabbi Akiva's opinion. The Tanya Hainlo Nizrav Lona Sevet Tuatenu or Rabbi Akiva, Achi Mecharsh En Zorin Mehecha Osvin, Ikan Lasvichin Shehen Asurin. So again, so now we see that we're in Rabbi Akiva's opinion that we quoted earlier in the Sifra, that Rabbi Akiva thinks it's Ashmi Daraita. And then B'mai K'miflagi, then what are they arguing about? What are the Chumim and Rabbi Shimon arguing about in Rabbi Akiva? Rabbanan Savri, Gazrinan Svichei Kruv, Atu Svichei Da'alma. So the Chumim think that because of the unique nature of the Kruv, we're going to answer all of the fruit, all the vegetables. Rabbi Shimon Zavar, Lo Gazrinan Svichei Kruv, Atu Svichei Da'alma. Rabbi Shimon says, no, we're only going to specifically address the Kruv, but not the rest of the fruit. So therefore, we're singling out Kruv from the rest of the pack. So then the question is, yeah.
To clarify, is it saying that we're only going to single out Kruv, or is it saying that all Svichim are a problem except for Kruv, which is okay, and the Rabbanan are saying even Kruv, which should be okay, is forbidden because of the other vegetables?
Good question. That's the machloket amongst the Rishonim and Achronim. So we're going to have to see some of those in just a second. You could read the Gemara differently. So you're right. I gave a bad reading deliberately. My apologies. Okay, so first we're going to go with Tosfos reasoning for how to read what's going on here. And then hopefully we'll be able to address the contradiction that comes up. Okay, so this is a slice of a much longer Tosfot. So near Rabbeinu Tam, this Rabbeinu Tam is being from what's going on in our Gemara. That Dibishvi Kodim Biur Mairi. We're talking about during Shemitah, before the time of Biur, which was addressed by already previous year in that Kidamash Makra Lo Nasof Tmaiti Dibe Manochal, right? Rabbi Kiva's opinion of Sneech Masur Mishvi, Rabban Pligya Le Vidarshe Lo Nasof Lachniso Lakiyum Velo Asri Ela Achar Biur. So we have the fact that Rabbi Kiva is asering all Sneechim prior to Zman Biur, and then we have the Chachamim who are prohibiting things only after Biur, assuming you're doing it, bringing things in for long term. And then in Argamar, what's Argamar arguing about? Rabbi Shimon, Verbanan Pligi, Hacha Alib Rabbi Kiva. They're arguing within Rabbi Kiva's opinion, not a general question, but only within Rabbi Kiva's opinion of all Shvichim are Usr for all of Shemitah. That Umati Rabbi Shimon Svichei Kruv, the Lo Asr Torah Ela Svichim Dumya Dizriya. So here, right, so Rabbi Tam is saying that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that why are Kruv specifically mutter? Because they're distinct from all other plants, because they're basically a tree. Okay, whether this is botanically true or not, I'll leave aside for now, but functionally, as far as the way that the drasha applies, Kruv, we're going to consider it a tree. That's how it's culturally considered, and that's that. And because of its being such a unique vegetable, logas rinan atu sharas vichin. We can safely say that nobody's going to get confused because kruv is basically a tree that looks like a vegetable, so it's fine. For banan gazri, but the banan say no, like that's super confusing. So like if any of them are, it's like we're going to say that all of them are forbidden. That aval rabanan depligia later biyakiva the savri isr svichim derabanan leka lemigzar. Right. But on the other hand, within the Rabbanan's opinion, we're not going to have to differentiate because it's all Asr Drabanan anyways. So we don't need to argue on that point because either way, it's all prohibited. So whether it be prohibited Doraita, everything else except for this or not, either way, it's going to be prohibited and it won't be a problem. So that's how they read the Gemara. But the question still remains. So now I understand what the Gemara is referring to here. But how do we deal with the fact that we quoted the Gemara here entirely differently than the Mishnah itself was quoted? So to that we have Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, who answers that again based on here, so I'll skip down to the bolded section. So here dehata mayri b'svichim shagadu b'shishi v'heter v'niklasu b'shvi'it. So what did happen in the case in Shvi'it and in Yerushalmi Shvi'it? So there they're referring to where they're actually sixth year produce that has entered the seventh year. And they hung around for a very long time. So lakach sha'ar svichim sharu, and therefore the rest of the svichim are already permitted. Because nobody would be able to confuse them because normally vegetables won't last that long. Because you can tell, the old fruit should be that permitted for the sixth year is nice and large, but the newly grown one that grew after Shemitah is going to be nice and small. Aval shall kruv shegadilim harbe bizman mu'at ein heker ben hagadel be'erev shvi'it lagadel b'shvi'it. No, but the problem is specifically for kruv because it grows so quickly, right? This is what we meant by imahot. Here he's saying imahot means it grows very quickly. So the problem here is that you can't tell what year they're from. So therefore, only Kruv is Asr because you can never tell its age. And that's why it's prohibited in the Yerushalmi, because you can't tell what it is. As opposed to year.
When you say Nishto, you're saying it's out in the field.
Again?
When you say Nishtahu, right? With the line in Tosos, Nishtahu.
Yeah.
Right? Adlach Harbir, it's Nishtahu out in the field?
No.
Meaning, no, it can't be.
I mean, that you stored it and you stored it not in a place where it's growing, because it grew there'd be separate things involved. We're assuming you stored it in a place as far as that you can store in the ground without it growing or not. That's a whole other debate in the Yerushalmi and how that works. But saying that you stored it above ground, the problem is you can't tell particularly with Kruv, because of its rate of growth being accelerated, you have no idea what it's from. Because, you know, 3 months growth is immense, and therefore, or even less, and it could be as if, look, even though it looks like this is definitely grew for 2 years in the ground, but maybe it didn't, and we can't tell. Okay. That's the problem. So that explains the contradiction. We're talking about different fruit years, right? One of them talking sixth year into seventh year, one's during the seventh year itself. So it's possible to have entirely permitted kruv, according to Rabbi Shimon, if, you know, it grew up on its own during the seventh year. In theory, it will be permitted to eat because you didn't violate anything. But the problem is, like, when you're talking about the case in the Yerushalmi, talking about at the market, where you would actually have no idea if it'll differentiate, and that would be the problem. So the question is, what year did it grow in? Which we'll address more about implications of that later on in this year. But for now, just main point being, we're talking about two different years is how he resolves Mechloket. So that's one option. So option two relates to the way that Rashi reads the sugya, which is why, again, I gave a deliberately bad explanation the first time when I read the Gemara, because here's how Rashi explains the Gemara. So kol ha-svichin asurin, what do we mean? What is the brayta mean where all the svichim are prohibited? Ba-shvi'i, during Shemitah the prohibited, but only specific time during Shemitah, which is bizman ha-bir ve'elach. It is only prohibited during Shemitah from after the time of Bior. So, again, each plant has a different time of Bior, but only for part of the year is prohibited, but the rest of the year it would be allowed. So, and then now if you skip down a little bit, where the Lord says, V'kashali, d'chi ha-gavna lo kris v'ichim, ela ha-gedeli mizera ha-nechba, nofelo arath kodem l'kita. So his first question is, well, what do you mean by that? Because is this really called Tzvichim anymore? If it grew from previous years, again, relating similarly to what Tosfot would have been addressing earlier. So, v'od ilanot shvi'i mi nahaga behen namik dusha. So, wait, but if you're saying that they had been growing during Shemitah, as what your trainer pointed out, then shouldn't they have kedusha shvi'i now? And wouldn't that create a different issue? So, v'nir be'enai, the tama mishum, the kruv, eno kal l'chaya kol yimot t'choref, begin gum. So rather, what is the issue with kruv? It just has nothing to do with how much did it grow in this year or in that year, right? We can't tell based on that. Rather, what must it be? It must be because there is no zman bior for kruv. That is why that is why kruv specifically is going to be allowed. Because what makes svichim asur when there's zman bior? There's no zman bior. There is no other way for speaking to be prohibited. So, which seems like, according to Rashi, there's no such thing as a gzera of svichim per se independently. Rather, it was tied into the general prohibition we had already of being bevayer perut shvi. So that's what it would be dependent on based on biur. So this in turn can actually help us explain the contradiction as well, which is quoted in the Ron in source number 19. So when does it say, so dechi Biur. So when are all svichin prohibited? It's because we've already passed the time of biur. The hatam, and where do we say, when we say that it's mutarim, except for kruv, is iri kodem habiur. So we're not addressing really kruv in and of itself as its own strange status for reasons addressed elsewhere. But here, the main issue is the question of what time are we talking, and for why you'd want to forbid, you could say, let's say, kruv might be prohibited or another fruit would be prohibited in the first part of the year. That relates to she'asru chachamim lokot perot shvi'it minashumar. The issue actually is of why they'd be prohibited in the first half of the year, according to the chachamim, as opposed to Rabbi Shimon, relates to something, din of mishumar. V'likach otam imi shu chashud l'shamran. And an issue of chashud, right? The issue of people who are suspected of not properly observing Shemitah and are guarding the produce to harvest it, which will be addressed by Rabbi Turchiner in the coming weeks. So that's a separate issue. The main point is when are svichim allowed or prohibited based on what time of year, and that's simply the way we'll split it in half and all as well. There are two distinct brayta. There's talking about different things. So far, so good? All right. So the next option we have is that of the Rosh. So his way of distinguishing is that we're talking about different elements of a related Svichin. So when it said in the Gemara, so this is based on the Mishnah in Shvi'it. So it's saying when it says there, it's referring to the Gemara Pesachim. So that they're talking about Svichim that grew during Shvi'it itself. So then why are Svichi Kruv the Sharu Mishum Dichtiv at Svich Ketzircha? Davar Niksar Ketfua Asar Ketuv Val Kruv Yeshlo Kalach Gadol Anapim Ke'en Ilan. So why is Kruv, so normally all Svichim during the seventh year are prohibited, but Kruv is distinct because it's a tree, as we mentioned earlier. Vod lo nizraktiv mashma de lo asar Torah ela ke'en tfuah hanizraet mash'en ke'en bechruveh habekilan. So again, why is kruv not prohibited? Because a kruv is a tree. Again, leaving the botanical aside how that works out. The point being is that kruv is basically a tree, therefore it is distinct, and that's why we treat it differently. But then what do you mean in Shvi'is where it's when we say that it's prohibited, when it's allowed. So there is, what is the allowed versus prohibited? We're not talking about lav l'inyan israchila. That's not referring to whether or not you're allowed to eat it or not, because it should be permissible to eat. The Hari Shimon Shari Svichei Kruv, the Hebe Svichin, because he actually allows it, even in our case. Ela mutarim l'inhog behem min ha'kulin, chuz v'svichei kruv, d'yesh pang k'dushat shvi'i. Rather, what are we saying? That there's one question is whether or not you're including Svichim in the Kruv is considered to be in the Xero Svichim or not. Another question is whether or not Kruv has Kedushat Shvi'i. So when we're saying that it is prohibited, we're saying the question is debating, is it considered to be within the, meaning our, meaning the Gemara in Sachim is saying, when it's prohibited, that's talking about, is it included in the Isra Svichim or not? Whereas in the Mishnah and Shvi'it and the Yerushalmi and Shvi'it, it's referring to, does this have Kedushat Shvi'it or not? So yes, it turns out looking like it's forbidden versus prohibited, but there it's just talking about, do you have to observe it with sanctity or not? So again, these are all excellent, yeah?
Sorry, do you think this is a different explanation than Tosfos you quoted before? Or is it just similar in the sense that they're both distinguishing between the Gemara Himsachim, which shows Rabbi Akiva, Midoraisa, the Midoraisa opinion, and then everything is going to be Aser except for the Krub, which is like an eighth, and then you just have to deal with the Mishnah, which is obviously not talking about Rabbi Akiva, and now you're adding that the Rosh is saying that what is it talking about? It's talking about Kedushas Shvi'is.
Well, because there the question was based on what year it's planted in, was the answer that Rabbeinu Nissim gave. Here the answer is based on, rephrase, the explanation of the Gemara that's given by the Rosh is similar to that of Tosfot, but the reason for the contradiction are different.
Right. Okay.
So they read the Gemara the same way, not like Rashi, but as far as the contradiction, they resolve it in different ways. Okay, there also is the option of the Kavra Reverach, who simply is not bothered by the contradiction in Sugyo, because the new opinion we have when we say it's permitted in Shvi'it, that's Rabbi Yishmael Omer. So that'll solve your issue quite well if you have a different Girsa. So that's one option. And then the last one is that of the Pera Shulchan, which is going to be a little more complicated. So his is, we're going to have different elements of even of Doraita versus Darabonan at play here. So let's take this one a little bit slower. So l'shitato mashma dechachamim svir lehu dekruv minatora. So how do you explain the fact that it's mutar according to it starts out being mutar, but then Rishimun singles out being asur. So rather, that's because the Chachamim really hold that Kruv is Asur mi de'oraita. Ushar Svichim Asur migzera. So the Chachamim's opinion now is that everything is Asur mi de'rabanan, except for Kruv, which is Asur mi de'oraita. So the Chachamim's opinion is there is some element of sifim midrash and some that is midrabanan. Elasham ishrim de lo yiskir rock Rabbi Akiva the sphere lay to call sifim in a Torah kamar. Chachamim ain't a sifim. So there, it's only the Chachamim's formulation was imprecise because they were in reacting to Rabbi Akiva and saying that they're addressing everything besides kruv in that instance. The high afshar lomar de Chachamim the gamri pligi, because you may have thought that Chachamim say there's no element of the right to whatsoever to. To svichin usfir lehu de'ein svichin after kruv min haTorah. That you may have thought that not even svichim are deraita. V'amadrabanan kulam asfir migzera de'over avera. So the reason why we have these two weird formulations is because it's hinting to the fact that the Chachamim's opinion is actually in half. We only see part of it given in the sifra and part of it given in the Mishnah. So the fact that it's both that the two versions of the Mishnah are to help indicate the entirety of the Chachamim's opinion, and that's why Rav Shimon and Chachamim are arguing what within the opinion of the Chachamim as to whether or not it, first one question is kruv asur midaraisa. Another one is regarding the rest of the. Of the vegetables that they derive, are they part of the prohibition or not? And this one is the, I'd say, the most difficult of the explanations because it implies that there's an entirely, that Chachamim believe that there's an element of Daraita, but that is another possibility why you would explain why the Chachamim's opinion is seemingly split in half. Because there's two versions of the Chachamim. One of there being an entire prohibition against. One of the being that there's no prohibition midaraita is alter banan versus there being an element of deraita and the rest of it being prohibited midrabanan.
Is the Pa'at HaShulchan answering the Sira, or is he just telling us something about the opinion of the Chachamim?
The excerpt I have here is just, I mean, he's much, much longer. Like, where he tries to like reread the whole thing. But yes, that is what he's trying to answer. So again, it's not a difficult read, but that's how he explains the difference, that there's actually an element midoraita according to the Chachamim, and that's how why it's a kol mutar chutz mi in the Gemara Pesachim, a kol mutar chutz mi kruv, because Rabbi Shimon is saying, don't you hold that it's midoraita for kruv, and the response of the Chachamim saying no, are saying that it's all aser midrabanan. Again, I don't want to spend too much time on this because
I'm just trying to understand.
Yeah,
we don't have to go. Okay, right. Are you saying that when Rav Shimon in one place says everything is aser except for kruv, he's saying everything is aser
midraisa?
Is that like how's the raisa rabbanan thing?
First one to say so the one where it says a kol asurin. Is saying a kol asurin midrabanan except for kruv, which is mutar because it's entirely distinct. It's considered to be a tree. And another one would be that no, actually the other version is that everything is mutar because it's all mutar midaraita except for kruv, it's all mutar midaraita except for the kruv, which is aser midaraita as well, midaraita.
That would be a stira within kruv, wouldn't it? You in one place you said that kruv is
mutar,
in other case you say stiraita.
Yes, and the chachamim are correct. I would then be correcting and saying that's not the case. Again,
okay.
This is why I brought it last because again I don't quite buy it as well as other resolutions. Okay. So now the question is, as we've alluded to previously, and for the answers of the contradictions, is so which produce falls under Sikhim? Which years are going to be relevant? So let's start with the one that we've mentioned so far, that of the sixth year into the seventh year. So how do we know that there must be something that you can harvest during the seventh year that is a vegetable? So that's an explicit Mishnah in the in the eighth parak, that Haomer Lapoel Halach Selazev Lakutli Yerakayom Svaro Butar. If you were too lazy to go pick your own vegetables and you hired somebody to go pick them for me instead, that is permissible. So the question then is, well, how can you be doing that if you think that if all svichim are prohibited? So to that we have the Rash who says that Mitzarech Lamar Dechulu B'shel Erev Shvi'it. So rather, what must this case which you're talking about? We're talking about it must have been fully grown during the sixth year. Mash Yesh Bem Torah Shvi'it Lefi Shenokatim B'Shvi'it. So, and what do we mean that there is, that they are considered to be harvested during Shemitah, and therefore we're dealing with it in Masechet Shvi'it, is because they're harvested during Shemitah, and that's relevant for dating of the year for vegetables. The Vayerek Adlin and Batra Lakita, because in general, for vegetables, we determine what year they're from based on when they harvest them. Aval Inyan Isra Svichin, So even though true in terms of calling it what year it is for the laws of Shemitah and Kedushat Shvi'it, if you harvest it in the seventh year, that makes it a Shemitah fruit. But as far as Svichim goes, Svichim is based on when did you plant it, not based on when did you harvest it. And that's why it's called a Sviach, not of the seventh year, but actually of the sixth year in the case of the Mishnah. And therefore, it'll be there. And therefore, it'll be fine to harvest. So this is the opinion of the Rash, which is also going to be one that is actually the most biblical opinion that we're going to follow up on Masa. But before we get to that part, let's go into the ascending opinion, namely that of the Rambam. So the Rambam. The Rambam says that Hayerek Meshal Kitato Asur Besichin. So Rambam simply states that the way you determine whether or not a vegetable is what year it's connected to, it's based on when you harvested it, and therefore it's going to be forbidden if it's harvested in the seventh year, the end. So that would be quite a chumra. So the Chazon Ish says that not so fast in terms of the strictness of the Rambam's opinion. So that Mavar Lakol Shadigmar Bishishit Ein Bo Mishum Svichin. So even according to the Rambam, even if it was finished entirely during the sixth year, it wouldn't be considered to be a Sviach. Velo Nira Delinyan Svichim Mor HaRambam She'en Yisr Svichim Ela B'mishu Tamech B'Shvi'it Im Ma'at Im Harbeh V'mashalotza Machklal B'Shvi'it Eno B'Shem Svichim Klal. So the Chazon Ish modifies it and says, based on other instances of the Rambam, that when is it considered to be not at all not a sviach if it had no growth whatsoever during the seventh year? But if it grew a little bit, that's what Rambam is saying. Once it grew a little bit during the seventh year, then it falls under the prohibition of svichim. But if it didn't grow at all, like, you know, let's say, you know, your potatoes in the ground, you harvest it, you know, on some gedalia, there didn't have any time to grow during Shemitah year at all, presumably it should be completely permissible. So then another question we're going to have then is, when we say that it's a sixth year into the seventh year, so what does that mean? How much does it have to be in the sixth year to be considered to be related to the sixth year versus being in the seventh year? So to that we have, so we see in source number 27, we see the opinion of the Rush. So the Rush is the most makel opinion. The most makel opinion, who says that Svichim Shiyatsu Bashishi Bechol Gidulam Hayabashvi'i Mutarim. So the Rush says, as long as they had been in the ground in the sixth year, even if they grew in their entirety during the seventh year, they would still be considered to be the sixth year's produce. All that matters is the second they went in the ground. So that would be a huge kula. But the question is that's the Rush's opinion. Well, how about the opinion of the Rush and the Rambam that we just mentioned earlier? So as far as exactly what the, how to resolve those two. So in general, we follow the opinion of the Rush as opposed to the Rush. And also we follow the Rush over the Rambam, because that's also how the most posts can have Paskin since have paskened, you know, since the time of the Rambam. So to that effect, we have the Chut HaShani, who is explaining what exactly the amount of growth according to the opinion of the Rosh, as well as according to the Rosh, would end up being. Right? So since the Rosh's opinion was what Jimmy said, then we have to figure out what exactly did he mean by it started in the sixth year, because it's not the same as the Rosh. So Umaran, Hachazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik HaShavracha, Horat, L'Shoalin, B'Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. So Chazon Ish told those who asked him in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim, also the place where I got married, fun fact. So Lizroa Kodem Rosh Hashanah Shel Shviit Beofen Shiatsa Sat Givol Malakarka. So he said, what is it started growing? There has been some sort of shoots peeking out of the ground, and that is how you would know what's considered to be started growing in the sixth year as opposed to in the seventh year. Umaisa Shahaya Shabbat Mano Shabbatsum Gadalia Hayu Sadot Ad Shadai Lohutsu Givolin Malakarka. The Hora Lahem Chazanish Livdok Etasadot. So again, even though Chazanish initially said starting growth means noticeable growth outside of the earth, when it actually came down to a case where there were some lazy vegetables, so the Chazanish allowed them to dig up the field and check. And yes, did it start germinating yet? Not that you know, break through the soil, but has it started growing roots? The answer is yes, it started growing roots. The sage called Hanbata. Then that's all that you need. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, wait a minute. Like, how did you get that from the Rosh itself? So this is source 29. So where this is his summary paragraph, because again, due to lack of time. So, the Pirush Shalom B'Divrei Rosh Shaloba Ela Liyashev D'Maid Muchach B'Kam Mishnayot Sheyesh Yirakot Hamutarim B'Shum Svichin. He's trying to explain why sometimes Svichin are mutter. Vavol Pikein Yesh Lehem Kedushat Shvi'it. So how can they be allowed yet also Kedushat Shvi'it? So they have to have grown during the seventh year at some point. Hu Mipnei Shel Inyan Yisur Svichin D'Chtiv Lo Nizra V'Lo Nesov. Because we learned the Yisur Svichin based on the verse of you can't plant or gather. Therefore, it sounds like it's based on it has to have grown enough in the sixth year for you to have actually been able to gather and eat something. So rather, what was relevant? Whether or not it has, the fruit has started to bud, or reached the point known as onat ha-masro, and then kevan shenizra'u, so that's the main point. That's the point we know that it has been planted and taken root, and it's that far along. V'gam b'shar lo span b'shishi, hareihem mamash k'tfua sheviya shlish b'shishi. Then even though they haven't quite reached a third, but this stage is enough to consider them as a third grown and fully considered to be relevant to the previous year. And they can really be called the sixth year, not the seventh year's produce at all. But this, of course, makes perfect sense because, in general, if we allow it for the general divin d'oraita of what year it is for Trumot and Masrot, the same thing should apply for Shemitah as well. So, again, he argues it quite convincingly, good svara, paralleling the rest of Hilchot Trumot and Masrot. But there's only one problem, is that the minhag was against him. So he said, "Ach, afal pikein hineni chozer magish tekol mazik atavnu ulo lemaseh ha'uluk vo hora hazaken." So rather, he backtracks at the end. He says, "What I said all was all, you know, simply an exercise in lambdas of figuring out what the Rosh's pain really should have been. But since the Chazon Ish was machria within the Rosh's pain and has been followed, therefore you shouldn't follow. Even though again, you might like my sara, but." Halach l'mas, that please follow the Chazon Ish, don't follow me. Which is actually the way that nowadays all farmers in Israel rely upon. So now that's how you can eat your vegetables for the beginning of the Shemitah year, from the very beginning of the seventh year, while you can have your nice cucumbers and tomato Israeli salad. But what about moving further on into the year when all those have been used up? So what happens if somebody were to have planted during the seventh year itself? So this we have the Rambam, the source number 30, which says Aver v'zara b'shvi'it v'yatzal shvi'it asur b'mosei shvi'it kishar tzichin. So the Rambam says if you violated Shemitah and planted, even if it goes into the eighth year, it's still going to be prohibited because it's part of Isser Svichin. So the obvious question is, well, why is it Isser Mishum Isser Svichin? Could you say it's Isser for something else as well? So to explain the Rambam, so the Chazon Ish, which we quoted earlier, explains that B'klal Zeret Svichim Shaper Nizra'u B'Isur Yihu Asuri. So the Chazon Ish is explaining that the initial stage of the Isser of Svichin was that if you planted it at the Isser, there's additionally a prohibition of Svichim. Right? So they're saying that, look, why is Rambam quoting Isser Svichim when you should say, shouldn't it be, you know, why is it less prohibited than if you'd act, like, why is it called Svichim? And that's why, because it's part of the same Zera. Therefore, the Rambam puts it all together. So on the other hand, right, so those are the two options, right? Either read that of the Rambam, and then the Chazon Ish's read of the Rambam. So, but there's another option, which is actually that anything that's planted in the seventh year is actually far worse, such as quoted by the Sma and others, is that the Kagon de Avar Vacharash, Vizar Vashvi'i, de Gidula Asturin. Actually, if you were to have gone and planted it in the seventh year and violated and actually violated Shemitah, it's just straight up Astur Midoraisa or whatever level of Shemitah is prohibited. And that's all it is. So, this is a commentary of the Sma on Shulchan Aruch, where they're wondering why it's listed next to Kalayim, and why is it listed amongst Kalayim and other things? The answer is must be that it's Asur Midoraisa, and there must be a circumstance where that is, and that's how it is. Saying you planted and harvested during the seventh year, that makes the resulting plant actually Asur entirely Midoraisa. Again, assuming that, as relating to Rav Simon Shir, that he said about question of whether or not Shemitah is right or Rabbanan. So far, so good?
You're saying Nevad is Doraisa, according to the Smog?
Yes.
Is that MS clarified in that?
Okay. Yeah, meaning there's much more to go into as far as Nevad, how Nevad works and why they prohibit it, but it is an opinion amongst both of them.
Against the Rambam, as you said, because the Rambam says very clearly that even if you work
on it, the Rambam is clearly that it's Rabbanan, as is the opinion of the Chazon Ish within the Rambam. He says it's a different type of Midr Rabbanan, but again, only after Midr Rabbanan. But he's saying that, no, like if you violate it, like you can't have it be that it's more that you went and violated Isser Daraisa, so yet it's only Isser Darabanan. That doesn't make sense. Also, you'd have probably violated two Daraisas in that case, because both for the planting and the harvesting it. So that is going to be a problem. So now, what happens now that we've finished with the seventh year? What about if something from the seventh year that goes into the eighth year, right? So what would the case with that produce be? So source number 33, we have the Rambam who says that speaking shall shvi'it she'atul motzei shvi'it asurim ba'achila ve'ein tol shenotam biyad elachor shkidarko u'behim aroa kidarka. So Rambam says that actual season, again, not that you've, you know, as we mentioned before about if you deliberately planted it, but again, it grew up on its own. So it's going to be prohibited all the way into the eighth year. And the only way that while prohibited, you're allowed to eat it is if you, if you're plowing, you got to ignore them, just plow right on through. But, you know, your animal can go and take a bite. So similarly, it continues, V'chein sh'ar ha-peirot, ein lo k'notam motzei shvi'it, ela mishiyasu k'yotz behen, peirot motzei shvi'it. Right, so because we're relating to the Isser Svichim continues all the way until we have reached the point where there are entirely same size of this produce, and then the Isser Svichim is no longer in effect, because once the Gzeir Darabana goes away, then it is all going to be permitted. So that would imply that anything that if the wheat manages to stay upright for a year and a half, your cucumber plant manages to stay alive, all the way till the new ones are growing the next year, you'll be okay. But that odds of that happening are quite low. So the Chazon Ish continues trying to figure out when exactly you're allowed. You're allowed to actually go ahead and start buying them. So, when are you first allowed to buy it? So Mikar Adin, Yerek Shal Shvi'it, Nichnas L'Shmi'init, Mutar, Bein Le'inyan Yisr Sichin, Bein Le'inyan Yisr Kutra Shvi'it, Yerek Batar Lakita. So he says that the whole issue is only based on if it's a seventh year produce. If it's actually harvested in the eighth year, really you should say that, just like the Rambam said, that we follow the prohibition, it's vegetables in general, it goes by when they're harvested in the seventh year. If they're harvested in the eighth year, they should be considered to be the eighth year and it should be completely mutter. Because if it all follows Lakita, then it should all be mutter. So rather, what does the Chazon Ish say that why, midaraita, right, should have been allowed because it grew on its own, but why is it prohibited? Because we're worried about people having hidden the ones that people, again, talking about some very sneaky people who planted in the seventh year, harvested it early, and hid it just so they could bring it out in the beginning of the eighth year at the right size, so they could have twice the crop yields in the eighth year. So that's part of the Isser Svichim. So it's only us for Midrabanan, all these Svichim, because in case somebody were to have tried pulling that move. So on a similar note of the people doing their best to violate Shmiat in secret, we have the Rikirkis, who says that what is the reasoning behind the Rambam? What is the whole reason behind why the Rambam says it's prohibited? It's because whether people are trying to do trickery or not. And if it's this late in the day, in the game, we're not actually worried anymore about people trying to trip us up. So therefore, it'll end up being prohibited once the new fruit come along, because nobody's going to actually have done what the Chazon Ish had recommended. The answer is like, that's a little too far-fetched. So that's not the extent of the prohibition. So as far as to, okay, so now that we finally have found the this produce that like from these Shvi'im, so the question then would become, are you allowed to eat it? So the answer is yes, assuming that it's, at this point it would be allowed to eat. The only problem is that you'd still have to keep Kedushat Shvi'it L'Hach, but even though the Rambam would say it follows the Kita, but because of the opinion of the Rosh, potentially some reason for the Rambam of it being, of the, if it grew at all during Shemitah, that gives it Kedushat Shvi'it, we treat it with Kedushat Shvi'it, just in case. Not because Mikardin you have to, but because may as well be Machmir. And then the last point I'd like to get to is the question is, what connection is there between Kedushat Shvi'it and Sichin? Are they the same or are they completely different? So we have the Az Nidabru who says that they're actually two entirely distinct things, which is why we have a prohibition against planting Ilan Srak, meaning non-fruit-bearing trees are prohibited to do during Shemitah, because there is a prohibition known as like of midaraita against planting, and therefore similar by Svichim, we say the same thing, that certain things are usur mishum Svichim, not because people may come to violate it, but simply because they made a blanket isser, just like from the isser midaraita is you can't plant. Similarly, if you were to have or harvest, similarly this how they made the Svichim as well. Therefore, Svichim has no such way, out of it. On the other hand, we have Rosh Hashanah Orbach and Mincha Shlomo, who says no, that's not the case. Rather, near the minate smachim she'ain alim kushavi avagav for gilam zaram shayach shapir tam shal gzerat Svichim. He says no, the whole thing is based on kushat shvi, because as we mentioned when we're going through the reasons for the Rambam's reason, we said it's because people might come to plant improperly. And also we saw how, based on which year it is, based on the fact that it's based on it having Kedushat Shvi, it might be part of this year as well. So therefore, we're going to treat what's relevant is only if it has Kedushat Shvi, will we worry about Svichin. If not, there's no way the Chachamim would have gone out of their way, just like things that are uncommon to plant. So the Maimakamina. Who cares whether it's got Kedushat Shvi'it as the trigger or not? So the difference is, it comes up for many different areas, such as in regards to flowers, because certain flowers have Kedushat Shvi'it because they're used for eating or for perfume. So those would have Kedushat Shvi'it and therefore would be more problematic, as opposed to simply flowers that look nice and pretty. Those would only, that don't have any smell, those would only be prohibited if they were harvested improperly or planted during Shemitah, but would not have an issue otherwise. So hopefully this has given some clarity as to what exactly sifim are and what we do with plants that we happen to see sprouting in our gardens during the Shemitah year.
I just, out of going back to your sma, I don't want to hold everybody. I'll ask it after people go and need to go.
Oh, yeah. Excellent job, Chaim.
Oh, yeah, Chaim. Chaim.
Have a good Shabbos, everyone. I'm going to send up my Makomos, I hope, for next week's topic.
Good. Okay.